Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your chance to win $25 to Topper's Pizza. It's our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ryan, make it simple to win.
I like to keep it easy on the people. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next time you hear that, be caller number
11.
Caller number 11 next time you hear that. 913-576-7610. I'm going to hook you up with $25 to go slam some cheese sticks in your face at Topper. God, those cheese sticks are so good.
Everything's still in play for the Chiefs, despite the injury. Best case scenario is 3 weeks. Take whatever you need to take, Pat. It's kind of where I'm at. Take the division. You're comfortably up in the division. Now, that could change with a couple weeks. I get it. But
how do you see that changing?
I don't, though. Yeah, I don't. I see the Chiefs beating their division foes.
Right. They got a 2-game lead in the division.
And keeping everybody at bay.
Yep.
Like, worst case scenario, like, you're still stiff-arming the rest of the division.
It really is like your kid brother or something. You got your hand on his forehead and you're keeping them away. That's really what it is.
Raiders 3-3, Chargers 2-5, Broncos 2-5.
Yeah, Broncos and Chargers are done. Raiders are pretty much done.
None of those scare me.
No.
None of them.
And we got to play everybody still. The Broncos one more time, the Raiders one more time, and the Chargers twice. And I don't necessarily see a loss. Like, do you think the Chargers are going to be motivated to go to Mexico City and play a game with their record being 2-5 right now? They're not even going to be motivated to go out and play next week, let alone travel to Mexico City for a home game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you've got the Raiders.
From the outside looking in, that one yesterday looks like a gut punch.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Yeah, yesterday's a big loss because you're sitting at 2-5. You could have been really 3-4 if you win that game, and that's maybe a little bit different and a little bit better, obviously, record-wise than where you are, but you feel a little bit better. Like, losing that game yesterday the way that they did, and we'll talk about that coming up in our next segment, losing the way that they did, that's one of those deflators. Like, you let the air out of the balloon, and it was just went, done. And you lost to a team that's not that good in the Tennessee Titans, who had Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. But that was a bad loss for them yesterday. So I think they're pretty much done. 7 games in, they're 2-5. I mean, good luck getting them ready for the rest of the way. I just don't think that it's going to happen. But even if the Chiefs go ahead and lose to the Packers, the Vikings, and the Patriots, those 3 games on their schedule, they still have a 100% chance of making it into the postseason, according to the New York Times.
Those are pretty good odds.
And their playoff generator. And even if they lose to the Packers, the Vikings, and the Patriots, they still have a 69-70% chance to make it to a bye week and still have that first round bye where they don't have to play in that wild card round. So even if they lose to the Packers, the Vikings, and the Patriots, they're still going to make the playoffs, and more than likely, they're still going to have that first round bye.
Thank you.
And that's what you're playing for. That's what's at stake. That's what you have to be focused on. With the loss of Patrick Mahomes, everything that you want to attain and had set to attain at the beginning of the year is 100% still in play. Now, if you start losing to the Titans, if you lose to the Chargers or to the Raiders or an AFC team like that along the way besides the Patriots,
You may lose your bye week.
But if you take care of business,
which to me isn't the end of the world.
It's not, but you'd still like to have that rest.
Sure.
But you take care of business, you beat everybody on your schedule but the Packers, the Vikings, and the Patriots, you're still in the playoffs, and more than likely you will still have a bye week. That's pretty good,
right? Like, everything's still there in front of you.
Right.
And I tweeted out this New York Times generator, if you want to go crazy with it. It's fantastic, at Josh Klingler on Twitter. It's terrific. Because you punch up every scenario, win, lose, and it generates where they think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to have the bye week. I think I can give you an asterisk next to it if the bye week doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, because you dropped Mahomes.
Because you dropped some games when Mahomes not there?
Yeah.
But you're healthy for the postseason. I'd be like, if you're in anytime, anywhere, let's go.
Right. And if this defense like really plays good in these next 2 weeks and puts up a really good performance of 28 points or less in both of these games, now you're really talking.
Yeah,
because if you can hold the Packers and Vikings under 28 apiece, even if you lose, then you can say, well, we probably could have won those games had Mahomes been here. Like, the next two games are big for the defense.
We'll definitely talk ourselves into that.
Yeah. The next two games are just big from a defense. I don't care what the offense does over the next two games. They're really irrelevant games, but they're very relevant for the defense to go out there and really send a message to two good opponents and the rest of the NFL that Thursday night wasn't a fluke.
Or this defense has changed.
And this defense has changed.
We have found something that works.
Yep.
All of those things can be had. So, huge opportunity, I think, for the defense as well. I mean, if you're going to win games over the next several weeks, I'm not saying they got to carry you, but you don't have 15 to lean on that you're just like, oh, they're going to score 30.
Right.
I think that they're not going to score 30 automatically by just switching out the quarterback for Matt Moore. I think they're going to take on a different approach. Now, do I crumple everything up and change the entire game plan for Matt Moore? No. But do I do some things that I've stayed away from because Pat's at quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah.
Run the football.
Yeah, run
the football.
Calling
you to run the football with Patrick Mahomes.
But I don't.
I think you try to do it a little bit more conservative offensively, and let's see if the defense has made some strides over the next couple of weeks. We might learn a lot more about the defense the next 2 weeks.
But I also still take chances. I still take chances downfield. I still involve Tyreek Hill. I still involve, you know, Travis Kelce. I don't go away from the passing game because Matt Moore's there. I don't really change a whole heck of a lot. Maybe work in a few more runs, but I still try to maintain that offense that got you to where you are right now.
Couple more, guys.
Tom and Casey, your winner of Topper's Pizza. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We head around the rest of the NFL. How drunk was Merrill? It's Sproles in the backfield next.
Fesco in the morning. Just how drunk was Merrill?
You know, fans, it's games like this that used to get me over-medicated.
We're about to find out the most sober calls from around the NFL. And then we have Merrill.
What are you saying about Rochester?
Fesco in the Morning presents...
Holes in the Backfield.
It is time to find out how Merrill was yesterday. Maybe the same state that Kling's in right now, just waltzing back in.
Thanks for joining us, Kling.
I got to get my water.
You bet.
If that is Jake, water.
Jake, who? Tell me a story.
About what?
His son's a
baseball.
A baseball player. And
your sports career.
Complaining about your sports. Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all on that together, man. We're all in that
sacrificing
together.
For your kids, trying to get them a scholarship.
That's right.
It doesn't always work out. So he's trying to get his son a scholarship.
That's right.
And he's having a blast doing it.
Oh, God, yes.
Great, get your Sproles in the back.
Sorry, let's head around the rest of the NFL, find some great sound from other games around the NFL, and ultimately, how drunk was Merrill?
It was a Sunday night game down in Dallas. Where are we starting today, Rhino?
We're going to start in Green Bay. The Packers absolutely manhandling the Oakland Raiders. Aaron Rodgers, he was throwing passes to people you had to Google.
Yeah.
To Rodgers. Back to throw, deep drop. Rainbow's right side. Kumaro's got it. 10-5 pylon. Is it a touchdown? No, he stepped out of bounds apparently. Or is it?
It was a touchdown. They went back, got it under.
All you got to do is hit the pylon.
Jake,
I know that.
Kumaro.
I would have said Kumaro.
Jake Kumaro.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that on radio.
How many catches does Commandant Lassard have yesterday?
I think he only had the one for that touchdown, but it was well worth it. Aaron Rodgers, 5 passing touchdowns on the day, and then he chipped in this.
Rodgers pointing with his left hand across the formation. Now takes the snap, hands it off, fakes the pass to Jones. Rolling right, Rodgers. Pump fakes, takes it himself. He's in the end zone, touchdown.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers on a 3-yard touchdown run. And we get the championship belt on, and the Packers now go up 27-10.
42-24, the final in that one. Matt LaFleur with the understatement of the day.
Our offense. They came to play today. I was really happy. We had a lot of guys step up.
They came to play today.
Play that cut again. Listen to this cut. Aaron Rodgers literally did everything a quarterback could do on one play.
Rodgers pointing with his left hand across the formation. Now takes the snap. Hands it off. Fakes the pass to Jones. Rolling right, Rodgers. Pump fakes. Takes it himself. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Aaron Rodgers on a 3-yard touchdown run.
On that play, he handed it off. He fake passed. He rolled it. He pumped it, and then ran it himself.
Did he audible out of the original flag?
Probably so. Probably so. But that's the Chiefs' next opponent. They were really good yesterday against the Raiders. I don't know how much is the Raiders just being the Raiders versus the Packers being good.
Yeah.
The narrative this week is going to be it's now clicking up in Green Bay, and LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are on the same page. Wait till you get a load of the buzzsaw that is the Chiefs' defense coming off that Thursday night game in Denver. Green Bay Packers, you want none of this. Just stay in Wisconsin and eat your cheese.
Have you ever had the rope cheese?
No, is it good?
It's like string cheese, but a giant rope.
Giant rope, like a rope of licorice, but cheese?
I mean, you could, I don't think
do they have cheese pipes like they have the licorice pipes?
I don't believe they have cheese pipes now. I'll check at the Cheese Castle next time.
The Mars Cheese Castle right there? Yeah, it's a good spot.
It is the Chiefs defense.
Hey, 9 sacks and a touchdown? Anthony Hitchens had 2 sacks?
You need to calm the hell down, sir.
I'm telling you what, Aaron Rodgers, you got nothing on Joe Flacco.
Oh, good Lord, Robert.
I'm excited. Minnesota. I'm ready for the game, man.
It was another NFC North showdown. The Vikings and
the Lions.
Cousins back to pass. Straight in the pocket. Dump over the middle. Rudolph. 5. Touchdown!
Paul Allen.
I think he's the best out there in the NFL. He's awesome.
Many people say he's the best. Kirk Cousins, after being called out, he's just gone on a tear with his wide receivers over the last couple of weeks. Adam Thielen pulling in a touchdown on that one. He did leave the game with a hamstring injury. He actually suffered the hamstring injury while catching a touchdown. So silver linings, I guess. But Kirk Cousins, he's pretty proud of the Vikings.
I was proud of the character of our football team. I thought it was a great game. And, I expected it to be a tough one to come out with. I thought this team had, going into the game, could have very easily been undefeated with the way they had lost. And so have a lot of respect for them, and so the fact that we were able to go on the road and get a win is a big deal. We're going to enjoy this one.
The final score.
Was that a coach or a quarterback?
That was good grief.
You think the NFL is going to fine him, though, for saying that the Lions could have been undefeated?
They could have been undefeated. Final score not really indicative of how close this game was entering into the fourth quarter, but the Lions had a chance to come back and then crapped the proverbial bed, how the Lions always do.
They lined it up. You know, those are the next two opponents, the Vikings and the Packers, that the Chiefs are going to face, not necessarily in that order.
42 yesterday.
42 for the Vikings, 42 for the Packers, and that's where I said earlier in the show, and I continue to maintain, the defense is going to find out, and we're going to find out, if it's a Super Bowl caliber defense over these next 2 weeks. These next 2 weeks, it's all about that defense, no offense.
Oh, because the Meghan Trainor song.
What?
It was a battle of rookie quarterbacks. Daniel Jones opposite Kyler Murray. Fight!
Tate in motion. Jones takes the shotgun snap. Throws the deep post. Got Ellison for the touchdown! What a throw by Jones! And Ellison with the touchdown catch. And the Giants get on the board.
I watched too much of that game yesterday. In fact, every play of that game yesterday.
Why?
And too much every play?
Because that's that. You watched the Lions, didn't you, yesterday?
I was on national TV.
The Giants weren't on national TV. No, that was on Channel 7.
I know, that's the point. One of them, the nation was forced to watch. The other one you chose to watch.
I chose to watch, yes. Me and my dad watched the games together. My mom's now involved, too. She likes watching the games.
Who?
My mom.
My mom! Doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, it really doesn't. But
Patrick Peterson, though.
This was the play that we need to talk about.
He was the one made the play to close it out.
Jones back to pass. Blitz coming. Jones hit. Lost the ball. It's scooped up by the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson forced a fumble. Reddick picks it up. He's tackled at the 18-yard line.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
I think, obviously taking care of the ball is a big thing and has been. You know, to not do that today is disappointing.
Get better.
That's your starting quarterback.
That's the quarterback, man. That's the quarterback. Here's the deal. That play by Patrick Peterson, immediately I thought that's why the Chiefs won him. That was a heady play to seal a game by a veteran player at a position that the Chiefs desperately need a veteran player, and that's at that cornerback spot. Those are the type of plays that seal games, that give you the win, that knock the opponent out, that let you walk off the field as a victor. The Chiefs are going to need that play, that type of play from their defense later on in the season. You make a trade for Patrick Peterson, now you've got that veteran leader out there that can go out there and make a play like that. He made that play, game was over for the Cardinals.
Unfortunately, the game was over for the Cardinals. I still think that's the biggest hiccup in all this. Cardinals think they got a shot. We needed them to not have the feel that they were in the race for something.
Cardinals winners of three straight now, 3-2-1.
Yep.
On this young NFL
Too bad
season.
The 49ers are now 6-0.
I mean, they should look at it that way. You're not winning the division.
You're not. You're just
so,
not.
So sell, sell, sell.
Not going to do it.
Did anybody watch that game, the 49ers and
Washington? I did. I watched a little of that. I was flipping back and forth between that and the Giants game.
I just like watching
I picked the two best games
around.
Of the day.
That was really...
That George Kittle can play.
Really
that defense in San Francisco, though, my goodness.
Let's finish the night off in Dallas. Yeah, they were in Dallas. Down in Dallas, it was the Eagles and the Cowboys. And it was close early on.
Back goes Wentz. He steps up. He is floating it deep. And it is caught for a touchdown. High in the air and bringing it down. Dallas Goedert.
Well, I say close. The Cowboys did jump out to a 14-0 lead. That would make it 14-7. Unfortunately, that would be the only touchdown that the Eagles would score. At one point, Carson Wentz in the first half had like 8 passes. That's not going to get the job done.
It really is. I like the fact that Dallas Goedert caught a touchdown in the city in
Dallas
which he's named.
Goedert.
And they're going to go boot to the right. He's got nobody. He's going to keep it to the 5. He's got a first down dive into the pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown for Dak Prescott. And with that touchdown, Dak Prescott has surpassed Hall of Famer Roger Staubach for most rushing touchdowns in a career by a Cowboys quarterback.
That's caveat laden right there.
I mean, does Roger Staubach have like 3? And is, I mean, like, Dak Prescott's been around for a hot minute and is already breaking Cowboy records. How about that?
Roger Staubach's neighborhood got hit by that tornado last night.
Did
in
it
Dallas.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I didn't know it was his neighborhood. Wow.
I hope all of his stuff is okay, him included.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, though, he's got egg on his face earlier in the week. He went on up in Philly on a radio show, guaranteed to win, and then, you know.
Didn't win.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
Now time is out. And the Cowboys have beaten the Eagles 37-10.
All right. Voicing your confidence earlier in the week?
Nope.
I
want to hear the full response.
Do you regret voicing your confidence earlier in the week?
Nope. Do not. Just felt like, you know, I had a lot of confidence in this football team, a lot of trust, a lot of faith in the guys. Had a good week of preparation. And after a game like this, we all have to kind of step back, look in the mirror, especially myself. It starts with me. And this is one of those games
that
I take personal from that standpoint. We didn't play well, and that's personal on me. So I got to get that fixed.
Got to do a better job. Mm. Mm. Time's yours.
Back to Merrill Reese. Not that drunk considering a night game.
No, it was early on, though.
So maybe he was not at the hotel.
That's what I'm saying. He probably slew down game day of.
Maybe.
Got to the game.
Not that drunk. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Peterson was. He made the prediction and then got ran. is today's.
You didn't only lose. You got housed.
Wow, yeah.
Like that one 37-10?
Shelf life on that one was not great.
You think they'll be talking about that in Philadelphia today?
Yeah.
I did like the beginning of that game with Vermeil talking about the rivalry and how it was created.
The reverse of no. It'll be yeah. Yeah. Talking about that today. Oh, yeah. That is today's edition of Sproles in the Backfield. Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword in just a couple of minutes. And why wasn't the switch already flipped? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word cupcake to 72881. That's cupcake. CUPCAKE. Cupcake to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance at 10:30. Rules at 610sports.com. Cupcake to 72881. For your chance to win.
Do you eat the cupcake where you slice off half the cake and put it on top like a sandwich?
I do not.
Ryan?
Yeah. Of course.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because then you get an equal portion of cake and icing in each bite.
I think
you
it's
don't
a
have
terrific plan. I just never do it.
You don't have the icing up on your lip.
Yeah.
You don't need to like.
You can flatten the. Yeah, it's probably easier. All right, I'm gonna try that next time I have a cupcake.
You've never done that?
No, I never have.
Oh my goodness.
No. I'm always afraid I'm gonna lived. Bust the bottom off though, and then it's gonna fall apart, and then I'm gonna lose the cupcake.
No, you gotta go into a fearless.
Okay. Do you take a knife to it or like a piece of dental floss and slice it?
No, I just grab it in the middle and I twist it like an Oreo.
All right.
You're putting too much thought into this, dude.
No, I am. I'm definitely over.
Study long, study wrong, Bob. Just
No, that is true. There's nothing wrong about
that. Go with the source on this one. Yeah. The source would be Ryan.
That's why I asked.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming to me for all your cupcake needs.
Teddy Bruschi, Rex Ryan, Randy Moss, NFL Live on ESPN, discussing the loss of Patrick Mahomes and what it means. Starting with Teddy Bruschi, who says this is the best thing that's ever happened to this team.
Of course, they're better with him on the team. Yes, that's obvious. But I believe this, for the Kansas City Chiefs to become a championship quality contender, this is exactly what they needed. Now, hear me out. Okay, hear me out, because I know they're better with Patrick Mahomes. I believe that, yes, but I watch the Chiefs play defensively, special teams, just their overall attitude, and it seems like they know they got a player that'll give them 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. So they're playing like they're going to score 30 points a game. So the defense now, you are forced to have more of accountability, to play better, to win some 20 to 17 games, to play better defensively, learn how to play complementary football, which is what they need to do. I believe if they get their minds right during the streak where however Pat Mahomes is gone, Pat Mahomes comes back and joins them, they can be an even better team because they have to win. They're forced to win without him.
Well, as crazy as it sounds, I totally agree with you. I mean, look, their defense hadn't shown up until what happened when Pat went out of the game. That defense went to a totally different level.
They scored on defense, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that happen, but man, oh, man, I'd like to play him without Pat Mahomes.
Man, I would have to disagree with you both. When you look at what Patrick Mahomes means to this organization, to the franchise, yes, I'm an offensive player. When you look at production of the offensive guys, Patrick Mahomes is going to be missed for a couple of weeks, and this team is going to pay for it. Not knowing what they're going to get in quarterback more, but they're going to miss the MVP. Mark my words.
I like how he called them quarterback more.
They're going to miss the quarterback more.
I don't know what they're going to get in quarterback more. No, none of us really do. None of us really know what they're going to get in quarterback more.
Now,
but I don't think this is exactly what they
losing
need.
Losing Mahomes is not exactly what they need, but can the residual effect be something they absolutely need? Yeah, it could. It could.
I don't understand why you can't have the residual effect with Mahomes.
Well, now you're not going to. So I guess it's the perfect storyline, though, too, Bob. Like the defense turned it on when Patrick Mahomes.
It's great
was
for
going.
Hollywood, right?
See, I didn't feel like the defense turned it on the other night because Patrick Mahomes was out.
No, I thought they turned it,
turned it on because the defense felt the pressure to turn it on.
Well, they turned it on because Joe Flacco quit.
Well, that too. But I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but like, once that ball got rolling down the hill, they took that ball and ran.
They
with it.
Played well defensively. Comma, and Patrick Mahomes was out.
I mean, the first play that they made after Mahomes' injury was a touchdown.
Patrick Mahomes was out, and they played better.
Right.
I feel like the two are completely separate.
It was 13-6. It was 10-6 when Mahomes went out, and then they added that field goal right after the injury. And then immediately on that ensuing possession, the defense strip sack by Anthony Hitchens, fumble recovery by Ragland, touchdown, 20-6, game over. And they piled on after that.
So I think they can work independently. Now, is it the best thing that can happen that you put a little more onus on the defense to prove your mettle? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they heard all of us speaking before the season, were they told?
Just be average.
Just be decent. You got Patrick Mahomes out there.
My dad always used to tell me in school, don't strive for B's because you'll get C's. Strive for A's so that way if you don't get an A, you get a B.
I don't know that this defense was told that.
No, but they were striving for mediocrity, and that's where they were failing.
But if they weren't, now maybe this amps it up a little bit. Maybe.
I should have aimed higher in college, I guess.
Why would you aim for B? Stands for diploma?
College is getting through.
Yeah, college is all about getting through. When was the last time somebody asked you, first time, anybody ever asked you GPA?
Where your GPA was? No.
My wife wasn't the only one with 34 C's in college, if you know what I'm saying.
Did you graduate?
Yeah.
That's it. You're good.
I do think there's something to be said, though, about lighting a fire and putting some onus on the defense. Like, You know, I think we've all done a project either at work or, you know, in a class in college or in high school, or whatever the case may be, to where, like, you had that one person in the group who was just making everybody's job way easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person just got strep throat and they're not coming back for a week, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, they're, you now know you have to step up your game that much more. And also,
like when Ryan was out, Josh, we were screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you guys know how you have to step it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I think about it whenever one of us is out, right? Like,
right.
I'm going to have to do this and this and this because you're not here to do that for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also works for the defense when it comes to, you know, you just kind of saying, hey, it's time for us to really tighten the screws a little bit and say some of these mental errors that we've been making, because let's face it, a lot of them missed tackles and missed assignments and things
offsides,
like that.
Offsides, holdings.
Yeah, penalties, yeah. Like all of those things are mental mistakes. And whenever you realize that your margin for error is even thinner than it was before, well, now you start to tighten that down a little bit. So I do think it'll be a nice bend or break or like, you know, like, make or break moment for the Chiefs defense. Like, are they capable of actually doing that? Because you haven't seen it over the first 6-7 weeks of the season so far.
Yeah,
and
no pads
so
to cover
for
you.
Yeah. Are they capable of, when the pressure is on, are they capable of rising to the occasion, or are they just going to fold?
You know, you mentioned the penalties and the mental mistakes. This has always been an undisciplined team with Andy Reid as the head coach. They really have been. I mean, we make fun of the Raiders for penalties all the time. Since Andy Reid has taken over, this is one of the highest penalized teams in the NFL. That's just a fact. So I don't know that that is necessarily going to change. But they can go out there and play better football. I said at the start of the show today, these next two games will determine whether or not this defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. We're talking about their next two opponents that scored 42 points each over their games on Sunday. That's a lot of points right now. If the Chiefs defense can go out there and hold the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings to 28 points or less over the next 2 weeks in each game, then I think you've got the makings of what could be a Super Bowl defense. The next 2 weeks, especially the next 2 weeks, it's not about what we're going to get out of quarterback Moore or what we're going to get out of Tyreek Hill or the offense or anything like that. These next 2 weeks for me are tests for the defense. You have the opportunity to go out and play against two really good offenses. Let's see what you can do, because right now, as much as I loved what I saw the other night, the word on the street about this defense is, yeah, but it was against the Denver Broncos. You go out there and hold, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Flower to 28 points, and you go down there and hold a rejuvenated Kirk Cousins to 28 or less points, now we're talking about a really good defensive effort.
Well, I think, too, the crazy part, at least to me,
even if you lose the games.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I don't feel like you even need to walk out with a victory. And look, I'm not a moral victory type of person, but I think that there are building blocks and things that you can look for in those two games, because let's face it, you are coming off, or you've got two teams coming in who just scored 40-plus points in their last games. Their offenses are clicking. They both have great running games that are mm-hmm. clicking on all cylinders right now. Like, right
and
now.
And you couldn't stop the run until last week.
These are two of possibly the worst teams you could face right now, not having Patrick Mahomes. So
right.
I think that if you can hang in those games, if you can rise to the occasion, and if when the pressure's put on you, you don't completely fold, like, those are things that you can build going forward to say, hey, look, I know that I can rely on the guy next to me and the other 10 guys in this huddle. Like, I know that I can rely on those dudes to be able to rise to the occasion and not have to, you know, make these stupid lapses in judgment whenever the games are at their most important. Because let's face it, like, we all believe that you can make it to the playoffs, but that's going to be the difference between you being a championship team and you being an early exit from the playoffs.
Right.
Is can your defense do those?
And even if they lose both of these games, let's say by a score of 28-21 in each of those games, okay, that's a 7-point differential. Let's say they lose those games. Vegas has said that the point spread has swung 8 points with the injury to Patrick Mahomes. Had Mahomes been playing in this game on Sunday, the Chiefs would have been a 5-point favorite. They're a 3-point dog now. That's an 8-point swing. So you think with Patrick Mahomes, they probably win that game. Even if they give up 28, they're probably still going to win that game. And I think that's the way you got to look at it. Not
take
about
it,
the wins or loss, but what the defense
and
does.
Take it personally, Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think Pat's an 8-pointer to you. prove him wrong. Well, what does exactly the defense think without Pat? We'll hear from one member of the defense and the Big Finish next.
Fesco in the morning.
We've got our expectations. What about the defense having its own expectations? Alex Okafor on NFL Radio.
So at this point, our mentality is just hold down the fort until he gets back. I mean, we're very capable of doing that, whether it's Matt Moore, whether it's Chad Henne coming back or whatever. Coach Reed is a brilliant play caller, and he'll do whatever he needs to do to get that offense firing. But for us as a defense, man, if we played like we did last night, it won't matter what the offense does. That's kind of our mentality defensively.
Just hold it down, man.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't want him to say, we just want to hold down the fort. We want to go out there and dominate. It's our time to shine. We got the opportunity to go out here and make a statement over these next two games, to get people believing in us, to get, you know, offensive coordinators that we're going to face the rest of the way taking us a little bit more serious than they probably are right now. I don't think there's many offensive coordinators around the NFL that have taken this defense very serious, you know, right now. And if they go out there in these next two games and do more than hold the fort, but make Aaron Rodgers look like, you know, Will Rodgers, then I think you're going to have the opportunity to really impress some people. If you go out there and make Kirk Cousins look like Captain Kirk, you're going to go, okay, all right, now they've got the opportunity to really go out there and play defense. I think these next two games are very big for the defense and the way that people approach this team, because if they go out there and they start playing good defense coupled with Patrick Mahomes coming back and the return of him to the lineup, now all of a sudden you've got a team that is ready to go out and compete and contend and to win a Super Bowl. But if this defense continues to go out and get wrecked and just kind of just holds down the fort or whatever term you want to use, then you're not going to be that complete team. They have the opportunity to show over these next 2 weeks that they can be a complete team once Mahomes comes back. And he mentioned Andy Reid calling the plays. That's why I think Andy Reid is the perfect coach for this scenario, because he's going to go out there and still put his team in the best possible position. He's not going to lose that calmness that he's so well known for, and he's going to continue to put his offense in the best positions to go out there and win. And I think if you're going to lose Patrick Mahomes, this is the perfect time to lose him with the perfect coach and the opportunity for the defense to go out there and make some plays against two teams that are coming in, and winning or losing really doesn't matter when it comes to the playoff picture.
You know what Andy's record is coming off the mini bye with a backup quarterback?
He's undefeated, I think.
I don't know. I have no idea.
By the way, William Shatner played a little bit of college football. So.
He did? Mm-hmm. Bill Shatner?
That's what he claims. He claimed he played in high school and early in college.
Where did he go to college?
I'm not going to look. I'm not going to get that deep into this. I feel dumb I even Googled that.
Probably
already.
UC Santa Barbara or something.
All right.
UC Davis?
Fine.
Nothing that big, I bet.
I'll bite. I'll look it up.
Where do you think he went?
East Tonale State, probably.
Tarleton State?
McGill University.
No, he didn't.
That's where LDT
That's
went.
That's where LDT went.
That's what they claim.
The Canadian doctor played the same. He was in the same locker room as Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
So yeah, are you telling me Bill Shatner's Canadian?
Education. His alma mater is McGill University.
Why would you go to McGill University if you weren't from Canada?
I'm just saying you don't have to be. He is, but you don't have to be.
Oh, he is a Canadian? Yeah. Bill
he was born in Montreal, Quebec.
Yeah.
So Canadian. Does he speak French, too?
Yeah.
So we need to get him down here.
I'm just going to tell you anything you want to hear now. I don't know if he speaks French, Bob. Oh.
He was also a doctor. We knew that. But I'm guessing Andy off the mini bye with the backup quarterback's darn near unbeaten.
Probably.
I do like the fact that he's got a little bit of extra time. He can drop some now because he had Pat plays. He had Matt plays.
Mm-hmm.
Drop some Matt plays. Make this offense workable. Not vast wholesale changes, but workable enough that you can accommodate the skills of your quarterback. And make this thing pretty respectable looking for a few weeks.
Well, the last thing you want to do is walk into that meeting on Wednesday morning with the game plan and take the old game plan and just throw it in a dumpster and go, we're screwed! We're changing everything! No, you go in and you have the same type of game plan in
Look,
mind.
Guys, we all know Matt's not the quarterback. Yeah, Pat is. So let's go to draw some things up here
screwed.
For him.
Does anybody have any suggestions? No, you go in with this. Maybe you run the ball a little bit more, take a little bit of pressure off of him. You still get Tyreek Hill involved deep. You still, if Sammy Watkins wants to play this week, get him involved. You get Travis Kelce involved. I don't think you go away from the passing game because you don't have Patrick Mahomes out there. I still think you go in with the same type of game plan that you've had for these games. You give Matt Moore the 15 best plays that he can handle at the start of the game, get that confidence developed in him. And then let's go. I mean, who else would you rather have on the sidelines from an offensive standpoint with a backup quarterback against two really good teams than Andy Reid? I like their chances a lot to perform
Currently,
well.
Frank Reich jumps to mind.
Yeah, Frank Reich is pretty good.
He seems to be doing pretty well.
Very
there.
Good.
Sean Payton jumps to mind
doing a nice
as well,
job. Yeah, doing a nice job there. Yeah.
And I'd probably rather have those two quarterbacks.
I'd rather have those two quarterbacks, too. You'd rather have Jacoby Brissett, and you'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater right now than Matt Moore, right?
I don't know. I'm riding and dying with Matt Moore.
That's... Well, good. I'm glad. You should be riding and dying with him because that's where we are right now.
There's no choice.
Yeah, you don't have really much of a choice.
I mean, I just assume Andy's not going to walk in this week and just kind of take like a big, deep breath and just look around the room like,
I got nothing.
All right, what are we going to do here? Who's got some ideas? No, seriously, like if you got an idea, raise your hand. Anybody?
We're going to put plays into a hat and we're just going to draw them out.
Hat plays instead of pat plays.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. So Matt, you were OCing at that high school. What would you call?
What would you call here, Matt? Yeah. This isn't going to be the week where he starts giving Bienemy credit for calling plays, right? Unless they work, and then you can say, look at this guy's calling plays for the backup quarterback.
Plus, I did hear Binkley over the weekend saying that we could just bring Blake Bell in as well. So it's always going to be a possibility to bring the Bell
in. I think it should be. Something like that is definitely on the table this week. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about
goal line
for like a
Blake
wildcat
Bell.
With
yeah.
him? In the,
yeah. yeah.
Yesterday, as you were watching football, every
Sean
time
Sean Payton wasn't afraid to use Taysom Hill.
That's right.
With Breeze out,
he did do
more,
that yesterday. Yeah.
More, so I would do that. Yeah.
Did you see how
sure.
many sneaks happened yesterday?
I saw a Dak sneak, and I felt kind of uneasy
saw
about
Wentz
it.
Sneak. I saw. Yeah. I saw a Goff sneak. I saw.
How many of those
sneak.
Guys have banged up ankles though before that sneak?
Not a single blown
exactly
kneecap.
Right.
Out of the whole bunch. It was crazy.
But not a single guy had a bad ankle rolling into that sneak too. I don't see what your point is.
I was just curious. I didn't know. You said that it was a terrible call.
It was.
It's a horrible play.
Still is a terrible call. With a quarterback, like, I don't understand what you're not comprehending with this. I really don't. I really don't understand why you're so obtuse to this. The man had a bad ankle. You don't put him in a situation to injure that ankle again.
He didn't injure that ankle.
Okay. I'm done with this one. This is like talking to your child.
Yeah, it is. Big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
World Series is now set for Tuesday, right? Astros Nationals, the Astros winning in walk-off fashion. Our former colleague Robert Ford, the play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros. Man, did he deliver a game-winning call.
Here's a 2-1. And that's driven deep to left center field. Garner is going back. Look at you. See you later. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer, and the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4, win the ALCS 4-2.
The fireworks almost covered him up there.
Yeah. I got a little goosebumpy there.
Yeah.
That's that big playoff call.
Sounded exciting.
I'm excited for Robert.
His little video they shot from the back of the booth. He had one earlier in the series as well. Another one of those where he's jumping up and down, pumping his fist.
Yeah, it's good.
Pretty good.
It's really
good
stuff. And we get ready to start a World Series that, if you are a fan of fast games, this may be for you. Mm. You know, the under 2 hour type of game.
Yeah.
The Astros and Nationals. Now, this is according to the Wall Street Journal. The Astros and Nationals will send the greatest combination of starters to the mound in a World Series since the adoption of the earned run average as a statistic in 1913.
So that's starter, 106 basically best years. Starter ERAs. Is that what they're basing it on?
Yes. Best starter ERAs in 106 years ever. The best starting staffs ever going head-to-head, which it's really mind-boggling as to why the Astros are the biggest favorite since 2007 in this World Series when you have two pitching staffs that just don't give up runs. I think it's bizarre. I think the Astros are going to win it, but I also think they
I
should
feel like
to
low
be the
scoring pitchers duels would be the norm for this series.
Right. Yeah, you're looking at 2-1 games,
1-0
game, 3-2.
Somebody has a breakout inning early against somebody that could be
it. Yeah, somebody scores 3 early, this thing is probably over, and you put the notch in that column and you move on to the next day because both of these staffs are just so good from a pitching standpoint, the best we've seen in 106 years. So
I'm really looking forward to the Zach Greinke press conferences.
Oh, you think he's going to have any?
Oh, they're going to be tremendously short with like 70 questions and all one-word answers.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he does on a big stage. This is the first moment that he gets on a really big stage. He's never really had that opportunity before. And so now he's got the opportunity to pitch in a World Series. He does well in the World Series. He cemented himself in Cooperstown.
Big finish brought to you by Evernew, Kansas City's first intimate health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit evernewclinics.com. That's evrnuclinics.com. How about Dougie P, by the way? His fantastic weekend. His team gets run last night in the the Sunday night game, 37-10 by the Eagles. And remember, this was a team he guaranteed victory against.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
Now time is out, and the Cowboys have beaten the Eagles 37-10.
Brett, voicing your confidence earlier in the week?
Nope.
Now, he did kind of try to backtrack a little bit as the week went on from his initial prediction.
Backtrack.
But
I mean, you said it.
He went on his coach's radio show and said it.
Yeah.
Did his weekly interview. He said it.
He said it. It's done.
We're going to go down there and we're going to win the game. We're going to control our own destiny. We're going to be first in the division.
Right.
So all that applies except to the Cowboys. The Cowboys won the game. They are actually in first in the division and now control their own destiny. So he had everything right except for all of it.
Yeah, for all of it.
Okay.
It wasn't even a close game. They were never in the game. It was 37-10. Dallas mollywopped them down there. And they're not in first place, and they don't control their own destiny anymore. Not a good spot to be in if you are Doug Peterson, because I would imagine the folks in Philadelphia are probably talking about that today.
On loop.
Yeah.
On loop today.
Yeah.
Maybe except if you're, no, even if it's your station, you're definitely doing
yeah.
that. Definitely doing that. So rough one for Dougie P. No more predictions. No more bulletin board material predictions.
People feel Dougie like they got jobbed. He guaranteed P. a win, and it didn't happen.
They all deserve their money back. The Philadelphia Eagle fans have made the trip. Coming up on Show and Vern, the AFC West race is over, and the two seeds still in play for the Chiefs. That's what Show and Vern next.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.